as advertised, Doug Hoffman is the head of medicine. He's a DVM. He's with Care Center Vets over in Sharonville to talk about lowland silverback gorillas. I know they're Western lowland silverback. That's a big name, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, it is. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing good. The most obvious thing here is the story continues to evolve here, or devolve, depending on how you're looking at this thing, Doug Hoffman, is do you believe that Harambe was trying to protect or eventually going to kill this four-year-old boy?
Well, I think, you know, it's easy to armchair quarterback these videos when you have, you know, time to look at it over and over again. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that'll say with this, you know, with this gorilla, it wasn't necessarily showing aggressive behavior. You know, typically the males, you know, their sole job is to protect their family and protect their environment. And, you know, if they're showing signs of aggression, they'll often beat their chest and you know, make charges at whatever they're being aggressive at. He didn't look to be doing that, but I think the thing that people don't realize is the unbelievable strength of these animals, that even if he were playing with them, if he were protecting them, whatever he was doing, that child's life was in danger. There was no question about it. I mean, you know, he's being dragged, you know, if you see that video through
the water,
that moat, and, you know, if he hits his head, if he gets knocked out, you know, he drowns. And you don't know with what's going to happen with that gorilla, because something foreign just came into his environment. Whatever his reaction is, everybody's upset. Everybody's, you know, screaming, trying to, you know, help the situation, I guess. I mean, obviously I wasn't there, but yeah, you just don't know what that gorilla is going to do. And
right.
I think you have to make the choice to save that child's life. Mm. And I think they tried to call him back. He wouldn't come. And they gave it the amount of time that I think is appropriate. I mean, I think it's a horrible tragedy to lose an animal like that, but I think you have to choose the child's life every time.
Yeah, you're much more of an expert than anyone listening, because you're a doctor of veterinary medicine. And I defer to the experts on something like this. Generally, you know, if it's something we all do, if it's a traffic issue, a parenting issue, we all have an opinion. But in something like this, I'd have to defer to the experts like Jack Hanna, like Dr. Jane Goodall, countless other veterinarians, zoologists, and people who study primates. Have all rather conclusively come to the same conclusion that it was sad, it's tragic, but it was a necessary thing to do. So I look at the experts, and if Dr. Jane Goodall says you needed to put the gorilla down, I think she should be the final arbiter and answer that question.
I agree. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not an expert, obviously, in lowland gorillas, but she certainly is. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, people don't, like I said, they want to armchair quarterback this situation, and people tend to think that, you know, these pets, you know, these gentle giants and things. I mean, they are gentle giants, but my gosh, you know, you got something that's strong enough to crush a, you know, coconut in its hand.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think people realize how strong these animals are, and you can't predict what they're going to do at any time. Everything on this thing is an if. You know, what if it did this? What if it did that? Well, you know, what if it did kill the little boy, you know, and then everybody's saying the zoo didn't act quick enough.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can't win for losing if you're the zoo. Exactly.
Right. You can't. I think they did what is the best thing that they could do. They tried to get him out. They tried to move him away. It didn't work. They did what was the right thing to do, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I guess maybe the thing we can identify with here, if it's a lowland gorilla, Doug, is a male more aggressive? Kind of like, put this in perspective, dog temperament, right? If you get a male dog, a female dog, obviously there's different temperaments there. Is that true when it comes to gorillas?
Well, I think, you know, typically with the males, their job is to protect the family. So, you know, if you liken that to a dog protecting its family and its home, you know, you have the nicest dog in the world, but if it's put in a situation where it feels threatened or it has to protect or you know, and something in that line, you're going to get a different behavior than you typically would. And I think, you know, there's no way to predict what this gorilla would do when you put a foreign thing into its environment, which is this little boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, did it see it as a threat? Probably not. Did it see it as something that it was concerned about? Maybe. You know, when its family left, Mm-hmm. The other gorillas went in. I'm sure that confused him as well. So I just think that everybody's sort of guessing what this gorilla was thinking, and I just don't think you can do that.
Well, the other aspect here, too, is that gorillas, bears, things like that, that baby seals, we tend to look at them as, oh, they're almost human-like because they've got sad eyes, you know, but they're not. They're still wild animals, and, you know, it harkens back to the lady who put the bison calf in the back of her SUV because she thought it was freezing and they had to destroy it because, well, it had been abandoned, and you know, mom didn't want it back. And so, you know, we think because we're humans, we know better than the animal kingdom. And in that regard, too, you know, we said, oh, the gorilla, he was just nurturing. He was loving us, holding his hand and treating him. Yeah, he was just trying to figure out what it was. He knew it was a person, obviously, but it wasn't quite sure how to handle the situation. And you're right. You know, he's dragging him through the water. And when he was out of view, it took him, I guess, up the boulder or whatever. The firefighter said he was kind of dragging him around. There's hard surfaces up there. They're afraid the kid was going to get killed or at the very least have a head injury. And that was the decision to then fire the fatal shot.
Right. And I think, you know, Jack Hanna, you know, commented on that as he said, you know, it doesn't matter what you think he was doing. He, you know, he felt almost assuredly that boy was going to die. And, you know, when I hear people like that, like you said, you know, Jane Goodall coming out about this, I mean, these are people that know these, you know, these animals better than anybody. And, and I think that, you know, this is a case where you always err on the side of caution.
Right. Doug Hoffman is a doctor of veterinary medicine with Care Center Vets over in Sharonville and joins me talking about, obviously, Harambe and the story that continues to just develop. On this note, too, Doug, we had notable animal rights activists in Cincinnati taking the opportunity to simply tell us that all the zoos should be shut down, that all the animals should be released back into the wild. What is your take on something like that? Is it a good idea to take an endangered species and release it back into the wild?
Yeah, it's not. I think most of these animals were born in captivity. You know, you're putting them into a situation where they're not going to be able to survive a lot of times. You know, I think that when you have these animals, and this kind of leads into a great point. If people, and this is my little soapbox, I guess, is if people want to be outraged about something, you know, and want to rail against the wind against, you know, this, I would do it towards, you know, saving these, you know, giving towards organizations that try and stop poaching of these animals and stop hunting of these wild animals. The gorillas are, you know, endangered for a reason, and a lot of it is due to poaching.
Yeah, isn't that just going to, instead of Harambe dying at the hands of its keeper, isn't it just going to die at the hands of a poacher? If you were to, you know, let's say it's not Harambe, but let's say it's an offspring of Harambe, and you go, okay, well, we're not going to breed anymore, we're going to let nature take its course. You know, that's good in the first world problems we have in America, where you have animal rights advocates that want every animal treated like a person up into and including the right of suffrage so they can go vote in the upcoming presidential election. But they totally ignore the third world where for them it's a way of life, it's sustenance, it's a means to put food on the table and get money, and that is exploiting the endangered species, which is why they're endangered in the first place.
Right, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, the zoo, you know, places like the Cincinnati Zoo, I mean, with their, you know, they have an unbelievable breeding program. You know, some of the things they're doing to keep the species alive and you know, promote it, they do some unbelievable work. And you know, I think that the zoos have their place, and, you know, places like the Cincinnati Zoo and the Columbus Zoo and, you know, others like that, you know, really do it right. People are always going to have opinions on this. Should you keep them? Shouldn't you? But I think they're doing, you know, they're doing a service, one, because I think it educates people on this stuff. You know, they you know, hopefully people learn from this and they go, you know what, we will support groups that try and protect these animals from poaching and from big game hunting. You know, it's one thing to hunt for food. It's another thing to hunt for trophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some of these, you know, organizations do a great job of trying to stop that. And you know, that's what I would, you know, I would be much more concerned about what's going on with people trying to make money off of the death of these animals.
Yeah, I agree. Final point, because we're running really late here, but only in a second. A lot of people said you should have shot him with a tranquilizer. You deal with this stuff all the time where you're sedating animals, albeit much smaller. Give me a 400-pound silverback male gorilla. First of all, you'd need an awful lot of tranquilizer, a powerful one, but how typically long is it going to take to sedate an animal like that? And if you shoot him with something where he feels the needle going in, does he? What's his reaction? Is it dangerous to the child?
Well, one, you're counting on, you got to be a really good shot. Two, it's going to take 10 to 15 minutes to sedate, for that sedation to take effect. And three, you don't know what his reaction is going to be once he goes under sedation. And we see, animals have different reactions under anesthesia all the time. And, he could have completely hurt, gotten agitated, upset, and really done damage, or made a bad situation worse. Mm. Everybody thinks you're just going to sedate it, and you're just going to go right to sleep, and that solves the situation, but you don't know that. And, what if they shot and they missed, or they didn't get it all in? And now you got a partially sedated gorilla. I think they made absolutely the right decision.
Doug Hoffman at Care Center Vets in Sharonville, thanks again for the time. Appreciate it.
Sure, no problem.
All right, have a good day.